gentlemen, two of Springbok Radio's most successful scriptwriters, Annette McKenzie and Jack Mullen, have collaborated in writing Tales from the Seven Seas, a new series from the drama studios of SRP Cape Town. Miss McKenzie is currently scripting the very popular woman serial, Judith Parker, while Mr. Mullen, an Italia pre-writing author, incidentally, created the critically acclaimed Call of the Sea, a series that attracted thousands of additional listeners to the commercial airwaves on Saturday nights. The title, Tales from the Seven Seas, lends itself to incalculable variety. Adventure and suspense stories of past and present, and tales of the future. We have a series tailored for family entertainment. Here then, for your consideration, Tales from the Seven Seas, the sound of success.
Springbok Radio proudly presents Tales from the Seven Seas. Story specially written for radio by Annette McKenzie and Jack Mullen, and introduced by Hamish MacLeod.
Good evening to you, one and all. Aye, it's your old friend Hamish MacLeod, back with you again. In the weeks to come, I hope to tell you something of man's fascination with wind and wave, of naval warfare and maritime rescue, of daring voyages and cowardly mutiny, of storm and of doldrums, of the dim seafaring past and the distant billows of the future. From every latitude and all points of the compass, tales from the seven seas. And tonight's story is a true one. It starts in Hull, England, in the year 1802, and it concerns a young man called John Jewett, who traded the solid security of his father's forge for the precarious excitement of a voyage to the outpost of what is now British Columbia, and what was then the home of warlike Indians. Let me tell you about the man who made knives.
Your opening commercial.
In his footsteps.
I see. Well, I'm Captain Mellish of the Ariadne. We've just put into port.
Oh, welcome to all, Captain Mellish. I'm John, son of Hector Jewett.
Pleased to make your acquaintance, John Jewett.
How can I be of help to you, sir? My father is away at present, but if you require anything, I'll do my best to satisfy your needs.
I need it for a blacksmith. The Ariadne is in want of a few repairs. Not in serious minds, just small items. But they must be repaired.
I'm sure I'll be able to accommodate you, Captain Mellish. When would you wish me to come aboard and assess the necessary work?
As soon as possible. We've a long voyage ahead of us. Not all that much time to spare in port.
When do you intend to sail?
When repairs are completed and provisions taken on. And what's the hardware which I can barter with?
Barter? That sounds as though you sail for savage lands.
We plan to voyage along the west coast of the North American continent. And then across to China.
China? America? To think of actually going to such far-flung places. Oh, what wouldn't I give to make such a voyage? Ah, but there's little chance of the blacksmith and all, is there?
Who knows? Who knows, Master Durrett? One day you might.
I think not, Captain Mellish. When I'm an old man, I shall still be John Durrett, blacksmith of all.
And what's wrong with that? It's an honorable trade, and most necessary.
This is a small job I have in hand here. I should be finished within the hour. I could come to the ship then.
That would be most satisfactory, Master Durrett. Most satisfactory.
Well, Captain Mellish, all my work is done, and I hope it's to your satisfaction, sir.
My bosun tells me your craftsmanship is above criticism, Master Durrett.
Thank you, sir. But my father must have the credit, for he taught me. I'll be sad to see the Ariadne sail away, Captain Mellish.
Taken a liking to her, have you?
Yes, I feel quite at home aboard her.
Then why not make her your home for a while, eh? And see all those places you dream of?
Oh, if only I could. My father would not stand in my way, I know. But I'm no seaman. Of what use could I be, Captain Ellis?
Use? You could be the ship's armorer, Master Durrett.
Ship's armorer?
Aye. You can have a smith forge here on board. What do you say, John?
What do I say? I say I'm going home to fetch my gear.
So young John Durrett sailed on the Ariadne. He was very seasick for the first few days, of course, but he soon got over that. And before long, he was working happily at his armorer's forge. He made friends with an older man by the name of Thompson, who became Durrett's assistant at the forge. Together, they fashioned small knives and axes and daggers for the Indian trade. After a stormy voyage around Cape Horn, the Ariadne sailed northward with fair winds and weather until she reached Nootka Sound on the northwest coast of Canada.
Still at it, John. Hey, you and must be the hardest working men on my ship.
Oh, just another few daggers and things for trading, Captain Mellish. The more we have, the better our barter.
You talk like a merchant. And you're right.
Captain, sir, why have we anchored here?
To take on fresh water for our journey along the coast.
And so far, no glimpse of the savages we're to trade with.
We'll have visitors before long. You can rest assured of that.
One thing puzzles me, Captain. How do we talk to them?
A hybrid mixture of signs and pidgin English.
Oh.
The savages along the coast have learned quite a few words of English from various traders. And our goods speak for themselves.
Captain! Round the headland! A canoe!
Ah, speak of the devil. Take a look, John. Your first sight of the savages.
They're covered in paint.
It's a custom. They daub their face and body.
But look at that one there. In the prow of the canoe. With all the feathers and beads. Why is he different from the rest, Captain?
That'll be the king. He wears the feathers and beads for the same reason our King George wears his crown. They're paying us a compliment by his presence.
Mehmet Lee.
Thank you, Makina. And I have a gift for you. John, pick me a good dagger. The shiniest you have.
Will this do, Captain?
Admirably. For you, Makina. Give.
Oh. It is good. This man.
Who?
This is John Hewitt, our armorer. John. John McKnight.
Yes. John McKnight. John makes many things here. Knives, daggers, hatchets, axes.
How you make, John, how you make knives.
Show him and keep him happy.
Yes, Captain. Here, on this forge, I make them. First, I heat the metal. Then I beat it. I hammer it. Like this.
Well, we really have company today. They know we're about to weigh anchor.
Captain Mellish, they seem different this time. There's something sinister about them. And they stare constantly at my forge, at the weapons I've been working on.
There's nothing to worry about, John. We came in peace, and they welcomed us. We will go in peace. There will be no trouble.
I hope not, sir. For they outnumber us many times over.
John! Take muskets! All hands! All hands! Hurry, John!
Yes, sir.
Makina.
Johnson, show no surprise. Makina, This man is my father.
His father?
Yes. I am his son. Kill him, and I will not make knives for you. Kill him, and you must kill me, too.
Makina. No kill, John. No kill, father. Father, son, both live. Commercial.
Still working on the same dagger, John. You're taking a special pride in this one, aren't you?
I always take a pride in my work, Thompson.
Aye, you do. But you've been making knives and daggers here among the savages for months. And you've not spent as much time as this on one piece of work, have you?
I do what is necessary.
Come, John, I know you as well as if you really was my own son. And I'd say you're planning something.
If I didn't attempt to plan some method of escape from here, I should go mad.
Oh, it could be far worse, John. After all, we're well treated here. And we're alive. Thanks to you, I'm alive.
You may yet live to curse me for saving you.
No, never. Life is precious, John. Very precious. And we're well cared for. Makina has grown truly fond of you. And his young son has the strongest affection for you.
That makes matters worse. He will never let us go. We're no better than slaves with a pagan savage for a master.
Something will turn up. We must be patient.
We have been patient too long. We must do something. Do something.
Aye, but what?
There is a man from the Wiccan in his tribe here. You seen him?
Aye, but what help will he be to us?
This dagger which I've been fashioning so carefully, he covets it.
Well, if you give it to him, I've no doubt he'll accept it. But what good is that?
In return, he will deliver a letter to the first ship's captain he is able to contact.
Oh, the bribe of a dagger is no guarantee of that.
He'll do it, not only because of the dagger, but because of the magic.
Magic? What nonsense is this?
Oh, not nonsense, Thompson. Not nonsense. These savages are superstitious. They live by omens and portents. I will prove to this Wiccan-ish native that evil will befall him if he disobeys me.
And how do you propose to perform such a miracle, eh?
By a trick of memory.
A what?
In Old Thompson, where I come from, the schoolmaster used to sit and talk to me while his horse was being shot. Before I left to join the Ariadne, he was telling me about the Evans and strange phenomena.
Oh, that's very interesting, I'm sure, but how...
Wait! I well remember he said that on the 15th of August, that's tomorrow, Thompson, by my reckoning, there will be an eclipse of the moon.
What's that got to do with our present predicament?
I intend using that eclipse to demonstrate my magic powers.
Oh, you mean you pretend that you've caused it?
By powerful magic, yes. The gift of the dagger is to show my goodwill. The demonstration of the eclipse is to show what will happen if my instructions are disobeyed and my letter is not delivered. And what do you think of that for a scheme, Thompson?
Oh, they're certainly credulous enough. It's worth a try.
Aye.
And it might well work.
I'd almost given up hope. 6 months since the eclipse. 6 months since I sent the letter for aid. Now listen, Thompson. It has taken that letter 6 months to get through. We must not spoil our chances by showing emotion. We must not show undue interest.
Aye. As though the ship's arrival were a matter of no concern to us.
Ron!
Yes, Martina?
Ship here!
Yes, Martina. We know.
You not glad. Go board ship.
Oh, we care little about that vessel, Martina. We are happy here.
Martina wish trade with ship. Want what ship has.
Yes, I suppose you do.
My people not want Martina go board ship. My people think there be danger to Martina.
That is guilty conscience.
What, John, think? Think there be danger on ship?
Oh, I don't see why there should be. Why should the crew of that ship wish to arm you, Martina?
We need trade with ship. John, you make letter to captain. Tell you and father well treated by Martina. Tell captain in written word.
A letter? Why, yes, Martina. Whatever you wish.
John, write. Martina, come back for letter.
There.
Finished, John?
Yes, I'm finished. Shall I read it to you?
Aye. I'm curious to know what you've put.
Sir, the bearer of this letter is the Indian king by the name of Martina. He was the instigator of the capture of the ship Ariadne and the murder of her master, Captain H. Mellish, as also the 25 members of her crew, the only two survivors of the massacre being now on shore and held captive.
John!
Whereof, I hope you'll take care to consign him to his merits and keeping so good a watch over him that he cannot escape from you. By so doing, we shall be able to obtain our release in the course of a few hours. John Jewett, Admiral of the Ariadne, for himself and John Thompson, sailmaker of said ship.
Dare you said this, John?
Aye, I dare. For we have little to fear from the other savages of Martina's and irons on the ship. They dare not harm us. They give up 500 of us rather than have the king injured.
Our king, Martina, is not on ship. Why?
Tell your people to be silent and I will answer.
Are they on board? John, tell why Martina prisoner. Tell people.
The captain of the ship wishes you to release my father and myself. That is why your king is held prisoner.
Kill! Kill!
Aye, kill me if you wish. But if you do, you will see your king, Martina, hanging by his neck from the yard. Kill me, and you kill your king. Let my father go aboard the ship. He will speak with the captain and see that Martina is not armed.
No, John, I'll not do it. I'll not leave you here with these savages. Don't forget the Ariadne. Don't forget the massacre.
Thompson, while Martina's a prisoner, they will not arm us. I told them what will happen if they do. Go and see that Martina is well treated, but in treatment until I join you.
But John, lad.
Hey. John, you honest man.
I try to be.
You go with father. Send back Martina. Send back King. We give you canoe.
Believe it, Thompson. I had almost given up hope of ever seeing civilization again. Yet, there it is. That ship ahead of us.
Aye. We're back among our own. Free of the savages.
I feel as though 100 years have passed since the day I left Hull on the Ariadne.
Oh, those years will soon dissolve, lad. And this will be a rare adventure to relate beside a bright fire. With a tankard of mulled wine in England.
England. England. Even the words sound strange. Makina.
John. John. These eyes smile to see you, John.
They have been treating you well, Makina.
Well? What well when Makina, prisoner, is not well, John? You tell Captain Makina, your friend. I saved you from kill. You tell.
I have told the captain, Makina. I have told him.
Then why Makina, prisoner?
You murdered the crew of the Ariadne. The Ariadne, Makina.
I, your friend, John. You tell Captain.
I have spoken with the captain. You will not be harmed, Makina. Do you understand? You will not be harmed. But you must return all the cargo from the Ariadne. You must give back all the things from the Ariadne. Then you will be set free, Makina. Only then.
John promised to work for Makina.
And I've worked for you and worked well. Now I must go home, as you will go home, when you return the stolen cargo.
Makina will return cargo. Makina wish John safe. Safe to home.
Thank you, Makina. But I wondered if you realize how fortunate you are to be what you are, a savage. Would it mean anything to you if I told you about justice and morality? Would it mean anything if I told you that in England you would go on trial for mass murder?
I not understand. I return cargo.
Your final commercial.
And Makina returned the stolen cargo. And although the captain of the vessel was all for taking the Indian king back to England to face justice, John Dewitt persuaded him to release Makina. There seemed little point in imposing a code of society on people who were outside it. Makina went back to his people, and so did John Dewitt and John Thompson. And now, this is Hamish MacLeod bidding you farewell for the moment. But I hope you'll all be here with me again next week, at the same time, when I'll have another of my stories for you. Good night to you all.
You've been listening to Tales from the Seven Seas by Annette McKenzie and Jack Mullen, produced by Andre Butner, and introduced by John McKenzie as Hamish MacLeod.